Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to be here this morning. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. We may get out early today because it's pretty early yet. But I want to talk about the kingdom of God. And I'm reminded of the prayer that Jesus was teaching people when they asked, teach us to pray. And in the prayer he said, when you pray, acknowledge thy kingdom come. Everybody say that. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And when we get into this walk with God, this relationship with God, there is a transition that goes on at some point where we leave the kingdoms of the world and enter into the kingdom of God. And once we have entered into the kingdom of God, we still walk on the same ground, but yet we're walking a different way. And this is where a lot of people misunderstand the people of truth because they don't see what has happened. And I want to read a scripture here, some teaching that Jesus was teaching in response to a question that came to him. And it's in the same, it's close to the same place where I was in Thursday night. I was in chapter 16 in Luke, but I want to go over to 17. If you'd like to stand for just a moment. Amen. And Luke, the 17th chapter. And I'll start at verse 20. And this is a question here that was asked earlier in another recording that we find by the disciples. And here are the Pharisees asking this same question. When he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said. Now, his answer here is actually going to be the same answer that he gave to the disciples when they asked this question. He didn't suddenly change his mind. There are a lot of teachings concerning the future kingdom of God, but the teaching of Jesus is not quite like the popular teachings of the people today who are teaching about the kingdom of God. And I'm not here to start a debate or an argument, but I'd like to stick with what Jesus teaches, wouldn't you? And so when they demanded of him, these were the holier-than-thou people, the Pharisees, they demanded of him to answer them about the kingdom of God and when it would come. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. You may be seated. He said, it's not, this is another way of saying the way we would say it. It's not something that you will notice with your eyes, that you will see. It's something that's here, but don't expect to find it just by looking for something to be like a great chariot with a man with a crown on his head, or a bunch of trumpeteers marching before some escorted special one bringing in the kingdom. And yet, this is the greatest kingdom that there is going. But he taught it doesn't come with observation, not something you look at and say, that's it. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Everybody say, within us. That can be taken in more than one way. The kingdom of God is within you as an individual, or within you as a group of individuals. In other words, the kingdom of God is within you, the people of God. And he said to his disciples, the days will come. Now again, I want to remind you, this is if you go over to Matthew, the 24th chapter, you find this same conversation. It's recorded by Matthew, and it's recorded by Luke, but it's the same conversation. And when we read the Bible, it's good sometimes to get, like when you're in the Gospels, get the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They don't contradict one another, but they have, Matthew had his walk with God, and Jesus moved on him to write the Scriptures, and he had a personal relationship with God, and he walked with the Lord, and he had experience one-on-one with Jesus Christ. So did Mark and John. These people wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, and also as they remembered the physical walk, as they walked with Jesus on the earth. And all of this was their observation with the inspiration of Jesus and their personality, although it's Jesus doing the inspiring, their personality, anointed by Jesus, comes shining through. And so John will say it one way, Luke will say it one way, and Matthew will say it one way, but it's all the same thing. But if we take Matthew's words and try to base a doctrine or a teaching of some future events and ignore the notes of the others who are also in the same conversations, listening to the same teaching at the same time, and ignore what they had to say about the same thing, we can miss what Jesus is teaching. And we can listen to what man says and ignore what the Lord's teaching. Amen. And we don't want to do that, do we? So this is the same teaching. The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow. For as a lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And he's talking to them shortly before his crucifixion. He's about to be crucified, and he's telling them these things in response to their questions and their demands. And he's giving them a little insight here, is a few things that are going to happen, but he's not talking these things are going to happen 2,000 years from now, 3,000 years from now. He's talking the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you read through here, you hear, or you read many times, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here right now. It's right here in your face. And it's within you. And so they're asking him, so when is the kingdom going to be here? And he's answering them, but not in a way that they can hear it. And people still don't hear it today. They'll read all kinds of books trying to figure out, when is it going to happen? The kingdom age, the kingdom dispensation, the kingdom, when is it going to happen? Some of these days it's going to happen. And they miss it. They miss it. It's so easy to get caught up in our trying to figure things out based on what we do see, that we miss what we can't see that's real and that's right. So he's teaching them, but they don't realize they're being taught. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. See, we're not talking about the second coming of Christ someday in the future. We're talking about the kingdom of God that's here right now once you receive it by revelation. And this is what he was talking about also in Matthew 24. But it went right over the heads of people 2,000 years ago, and it goes over the heads of people today. And in no way am I in any way denying that Jesus is coming and Jesus is coming soon. And a lot of events will take place pointing to the coming of the Lord. But no matter what goes wrong, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how rough the way, everything that's negative that goes on in this world should be a reminder that our redemption draws nigh. That the crucifixion of Jesus, I mean, people hating one another, betraying one another, earthquakes in diverse places, terrible things happening all over the world, wars, rumors of war, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. I mean, you start being sorrowful when you hear the bad news. People misunderstand Jesus so easy. You know, they make this look like a future event. When this starts happening, when you look around, it starts happening. That's the beginning of sorrows. No, the sorrows begin as soon as you start hearing the bad news. And the kingdom of heaven is without observation. It's not something that's just going to happen after a certain amount of time someday. But if you don't get in on it while you're alive on this planet, you won't get in on it in the future. Hallelujah. You will be aware of it, but you won't be in it if you hear what I'm saying. There is a kingdom, thy kingdom that is come. It's the Lord's kingdom that is here right now. And the King is on the throne. And He's made it possible that the kingdom can be within us. And if the kingdom is within us, then the King is in charge within us. He's directing our pathway. We are loyal to Him if He is our King. Amen. And so He goes on, He says, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop. Now, what day we're talking about? We're talking about in that day when the Lord is revealed. And the day that the people with the kingdom of God at hand come to realize Jesus is here right now with me. And He's my God. He's my King. Amen. Hallelujah. In that day, He which is on the housetop and His stuff in the house, let Him not come down to take it away. What this is saying, as soon as you get this revelation, there's not anything that you have just stand in your way from grabbing hold of it with all your heart. And this is not what you commonly hear taught about this, but this is the truth. When you know that Jesus is real, when it comes into your awareness that the kingdom of heaven is here right now, and the King of glory is with me right now, and I can serve Him today. Don't put it off, and don't let anything that you have, or anything that you own, or anybody you know in any way, stop you from grabbing hold of it with all your heart. And if anything can stop you, evidently you didn't see it. Evidently, You're not really seeing. You think you are. You might see a little something that'll cause you to look back, as Lot's wife did, and she was turned to a pillar of salt, which means she was just literally destroyed, because she was following up to a point. She went out from Sodom with her husband who was listening to God. She didn't see it all, because if she had, she would have never looked back, because God said, don't look back. Now, that's not just a Bible story. It's a lesson coming from God. Don't look back. Hallelujah. It's all through the Word of God. Anyone that puts their hands to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just heaven someday. It's, you don't look back now. Once you grab a hold of this thing, it's forward all the way. To look back is to be destroyed. Whosoever shall... I mean, he right in the middle of that, you might have wondered at times, what did he say? Right in the middle of this teaching, remember Lot's wife. And that day he which shall be on the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. He's just simply saying, don't look back when you grab a hold of this. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. What's going on here? It's a transition from the ways of the world to the way of God. It's a change. It's a change from death to life. It's a new beginning. And in order to have a new beginning, you got to have the end of whatever was there before. For all things to become new, that means everything else is not there anymore. When Jesus teaches about, you know, all things become new, old things are passed away, all things are become new, he's not talking about when you're standing before the pearly gates and St. Peter's there to welcome you in. And the gate swings open and the great shepherd standing there saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you walk down Heaven's Hallelujah Boulevard on a street of gold. And all of a sudden you look around and all things are new. That's not what this lesson is about. We know when we get to heaven, everything there will be new. But Jesus is not just teaching about what's going to happen someday in heaven all the time. He is a now Jesus. He's a now Jesus. When you pray, be aware. Pray like this. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. In other words, let things be new now. Today. Right this moment. Because this is the kingdom of God. When you get this revelation, when you know Jesus is here, Jesus is with me, and I'm His child. When you know that, then you look around and you realize the world you've been living in is being destroyed. And everything that's part of it is part of the destruction. And God is against the evil of this world. And just as He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, He's destroying this world. That's why there are so many depressed people in this world. They're being destroyed. That's why there are so many people walking the floor. They don't know what to do. Going nuts, losing their minds. Worried sick over things. They can't figure out what to do. Turning to this one for help and that one for help. And just listen to the world talk. There's no hope. There's no hope. Several people lately have told me, I'm just thinking of ending it all. Well, why would they be thinking of ending it all? Because they see no hope. They see no hope. They don't see what's here that gives hope and gives life. Because it's without observation. You cannot look around and say, there's the kingdom. And yet right here in front of everybody is the kingdom at hand. Hallelujah. It's just a different order. It's not as the way we have known life. We've known life as things we touch, smell, see, hear. And then the new life is above all of that. It doesn't depend on physical eyesight. You can see this if you don't have eyes that can naturally see. You can find this because it's something that has to do with insight, not what you see with your physical eyes. Although once you get the insight, you start seeing things with your physical eyes too. You start seeing, you'll notice your brothers and sisters, you might meet them in a supermarket, but that's one of them. You'll know. Hallelujah. You'll know because you are related. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the kingdom of God. Remember Lot's wife. And there's only one thing that I can think about that she did. She made a start and turned around. And the only reason we're told to remember that is we're being instructed, don't you do that too. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. This is just what happened to Lot's wife. And she was seeking not only just to save her life, but she was worried about those friends and loved ones that she left behind. And we get worried about them too. We're concerned about family ties. But I want to tell you, just because your family is precious to you, you love them more than anybody on the earth, mom, dad, cousins, whatever, brothers, sisters, don't ever get to thinking just because they're so precious and so close to you that God is going to do them any special favors. And when you make a start for Jesus, if they don't go, they're not part of this kingdom. And when you are part of this kingdom, you don't have to mistreat anybody. You don't have to be mean to anybody. But you're the example of righteousness. And the world has no influence on you whatsoever. And when you're around them, you don't partake of their evil deeds anymore. And you're not impressed by what impresses them. Oh, look how much money I'm making. You could do it too if you could give up that church. Y'all sure are silly to go to church so much when you could be out here working overtime.
Right?
And have a new car. And buy a new home.
Yep.
And save up for retirement. How much money do you have in savings? None. See, I don't go to church, and I make money. And you know, you can't reason with people like that. And they may be close. They may be loved ones, and I have loved ones like that. And when you start trying to reason with them, they can't hear what you're saying. They can't see what you see. They don't want to see it. All they can see is their world with its corruption, with its greed, with its lying and cheating and leaving God out of their life and saying, we're going to do it our way and we're going to make it. Cemeteries are full of people that had big dreams. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. This is what the kingdom's all about. I tell you, and this is Jesus saying this, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. And that sounds like the day we live in, all right. I just threw that in. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed. The men was put there by the translators in the King James Bible. You could easily say two children in one bed, a man and his wife in one bed. In other words, it's just simply saying two people in a bed. One taken and the other left. Now, this is not talking about the rapture where suddenly one goes to the ceiling and the other one's lying there wondering what happened, as it's often taught. Now, I believe there's going to be a catching away, and don't get me wrong, the Bible says we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But there's a whole lot of emphasis on the rapture coming someday and very little teaching on the kingdom here now, and one taken and the other left. You're going to have to leave your partner behind to get in on this thing. Now, they might still be sleeping in the bed with you, but you're going to have to know who you are and where you are when that partner, that wife, that husband, that companion can't see it, but you know it. They don't want it, but you got it. Hallelujah. They're an unbeliever and you're a believer. They're unsaved and you're saved. They're worldly and you're heavenly. They're carnal minded and you're spiritual minded. One is taken and the other is left. And yet they still see each other, hear each other, observe each other. And one of them says, "Well, honey, time to go to church." And she says, "Well, I'll see you after church. I'll never go to that cult." And some people can live like that, others can't. After a while, it becomes tension in the home. The children are divided over who's right and who's wrong. They go to mom when she has an opinion that they want to hear. And when they don't like what she's got to say, they can always go to dad, because he has a different opinion. Yep. "And I want this, and I want that." And they know kind of how mom would talk and dad would talk. And when you got two kingdoms, you got a kingdom of this world, and then you got a kingdom not of this world, abiding in the same household. Hallelujah. Sometimes kids get caught somewhere in between. It's like a divorced family. Dad and mom going two different ways. Children want something, sometimes they can go to mom, other times they can go to dad. They know how to play the games. Hallelujah. The only way you're going to see your companion, your loved one saved, if you ever get in a situation like that, if you're on the internet or wherever you may be, and you're saved and your loved one is not, is to know who your king is, and to know where you dwell in God. And if you do it right, even though they can't see it, it'll be a thing where love prevails. The very companion that said, I'll stick with you for better or for worse, and that didn't think about the fact that you might go nuts someday and become a religious freak. But the companion meant it when he or she said, "I'm going to stick with you, sweetheart. No matter what happens, better or worse, sickness, death, till death we part, I'll stick with you." And then one of them gets saved. This is the biggest test that goes on in many marriages. Somebody in the house gets truly saved. It usually makes the other one become truly a devil. And they'll do everything they can to mock, to tear down, to ridicule, to try to make light of the ways of God. They will curse more than they've ever cursed. And they will be more abusive than they've ever been. They're meaner than they've ever been. Why? Because they can only relate to the things that they've always related to. You used to go places with them, you won't go anymore. What's wrong with you? But where you're going now doesn't include some places of the world. It's not part of the kingdom of God. And so rather than being on the dance floor in some nightclub on a Wednesday night, you're with some people saying, "Thank you, Jesus." While your husband can't figure it out, and so he decides he'll go out there anyhow, and he gets in the arms of some other woman, and they're not saying, thank you, Jesus. Because it's two different worlds. But there's some people that would be faithful even in a time like that. Why? Because the faithfulness of a child of God brings a certain amount of love that they don't know what's happening, but it's something they don't want to be without. There's a certain amount of gentleness and pureness that comes with the kingdom of God. That if you will just let God be God, at some point your husband or your wife, no matter how much they fight, no matter how much they argue, they'll check it out for themselves. Because God's way is a wonderful way. And people, once they've been around the people who are truly of God, they can be influenced. The problem comes sometimes when we don't remember Lot's wife. We get saved, but we still got unsaved people in our household. I'm talking to somebody today. And because they keep reminding us over and over and over how we always have been. And many times some of them say, I wish to God you'd come back to reality. Come back to the person that I thought I married. Come back and be who it is that I'm supposed to be living with here.
Right.
Or if it's a child in a household, you come back and be our child. I'm still your daddy. I'm still your mother. You do what we say. You go where we go. And so you get all these things going on in life. And the problem is sometimes there are those who love family ties and loved ones and things of this world so much that they are hindered from their relationship with God. And they start considering compromise, you know. But there is no compromise. Now, this is all or nothing. We go all the way with Jesus or we don't go at all. We're in the kingdom fully or we're not in the kingdom at all. We are a child of God all the way. In every place where we go, in every thought that we have, in every activity, we are kingdom people. 100%. Or we're not at all. That's the only way God operates. Either you're all the way or you're not at all. Looking back, you're not at all. Going forward, hanging on, you are. And we're going all the way with Jesus. But if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, he's not talking about you can't go to heaven someday. Although, if you stay in that condition, you won't. But he's just saying, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, you're not fit to try to be a witness in your house if you're living for God 99%. Because that 1% is going to mess everything up. That 1% that's still worldly is going to mess everything up. Because they're not going to remember the 99% good that you're doing since God's blessing your life. All they're going to see is that one part that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. They can relate to. When you gripe, that's what they notice. When you say something that you don't mean, that's what they notice. When you go one time someplace that you shouldn't have gone, they'll remember that forever. Hallelujah. And then no matter how much you say, hey, I'm a child of God, you ought to go to church with me, they're going to laugh right in your face. Because you looked back. You forgot. How do you remedy this? You grab a hold of God and let all things become new. Right now, today. Today's the accepted day. Now is the accepted time. God is the God that's real.
Amen.
The kingdom is here right now, and there's no mix between the world and the kingdom of God. You know, and it sounds so strict, because it is. See, when we get in this kingdom, habits that we were addicted to in the world have to be dealt with. that have to be dealt with. I'm not talking just things that are common when I say these. Some people, your mind will think of something that maybe you used to do. And somebody next to you may be thinking of something they used to do. We all have had different habits. Some habits can be good, but some are not good.
Right.
And you know what? In the kingdom of God, when your king is Jesus, he will tell you in the kingdom what's acceptable and what's not. You'll know. You'll hear it in preaching, testimonies. You'll see it in the lives of others. And although the kingdom itself is without observation, the witnesses are with observation. You'll see people change. You will hear them say, "Hey, God took this away. I couldn't do it on my own." You know, I could just name a few things if I wanted to. Can't kick the habit, can't kick the habit. You probably know what I'm talking about. Can't kick the habit. Then I fully surrendered to God and I never wanted that stuff anymore. Because God kicked the habit.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no more of this. Let me just do it one more time. No. It's gone. It's ended. Hallelujah. Remember Lot's wife. Who shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I have noticed, I have observed lately, and I've observed it for years actually, when the preaching starts, some people leave. And it doesn't matter how early you start or how short you promise it's going to be. Time to go. Time to go. Because the world cannot hear the Word of God. And the people caught up in the world can only hear the things of the world. And so, time to go. On the internet, typical picture of humanity. When the preaching starts, we start getting complaints. Turn on some music. You know. We want to hear some music. But every once in a while, somebody will come along and say, "Oh, this is feeding my soul." They're the minority, but they do come around. Some, they come in there and they say, "Oh, well." And we'll have a room on the internet where everybody's leaving because the preaching is on. Then we have this other group that starts coming in and they go tell somebody else, he's preaching it right over there. Oh, it's the Word. It's real. Next thing you know, we got a whole different congregation. The kingdom of the world left and the kingdom of God assembled. Because some can hear the Word of the Lord, and others run from the Word of the Lord. Amen. But it's the Word of the Lord that will save us. Jesus said, "I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed, one shall be taken and the other left." What night is he talking about? The night when you pass from darkness to day, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, from evil to goodness, from the devil to Jesus. Hallelujah. One will be taken. You know who that is? It's the one that will allow Jesus into your heart. And the other one left. That's the one that won't. And they answered and said to him, "Where? Where, Lord?" And he said, "Wheresoever the body, thither will the eagles be gathered together." And if you can't figure that out, neither could they. What an answer. Where's the kingdom, Lord, after all this talk? It's at the time of revelation. When you realize you're not of this world anymore. And Jesus has consumed your life. When you've passed from darkness into day. And then they say, "Where?" Where the body is. The eagles will be there too. Duh. Hallelujah. I mean, anything he said would have been received the same way. I mean, it's like, And he's speaking the truth. Right. And you can interpret this in a lot of ways. Amen. You can interpret this in a lot of ways. Just depends on where you are. Amen. Some people see it as a dead body and a bird coming down and eating the body. Right. Others see it as the body of Christ and the flying away as on eagle's wings. You know? In other words, how you see it is how you're going to see it. But what I said was, some are taken and others are left. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go over to the book of Romans briefly. I'm almost through. There's some scriptures here in the book of Romans that are used as a club on kingdom people and as a puny, weak offer of something that God has that's real, but they want to show, they want people to think that that they've got an understanding here. And I'm talking about people that are still of the world. I want to tell you this. If you haven't repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and if your God is not the Spirit that created all things, manifesting Himself through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man, if that's not your God, Jesus Christ, the door that brings us to the Spirit that made us, if that's not your God, if you haven't obeyed God in repentance and baptism in the name of Jesus, you're not a part of this kingdom I'm talking about. I don't say that to hurt you. I say that to bless you and help you. And to make you aware you can get in on this if you want to. But I don't care how big the congregation is, how big a Bible the preacher has under his arm, and how many people have changed in that particular setting. If they have not left all to follow Christ, they cannot be a part of this church. But there's some that just can't see that. And so they turn over here to the book of Romans and they try to say, well, this is where we go to get our road to salvation. And they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear it when somebody in the kingdom shouts it out in their darkness. The book of Romans was written to Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-named saints of God that were already saved. This is to the church at Rome. The church at Rome was a Jesus name, Holy Ghost-speaking in tongues church that this was written to. And anything written in the book of Romans concerning how to be saved, written to that church, is written to a church of people that were already brought into the kingdom of God. And they're being instructed how to maintain your salvation. And when you sin, grab a hold of God. Call on the name of the Lord. Confess it. Believe it with your heart. Church that's already been baptized in Jesus' name and already received the Holy Ghost and have entered into the kingdom. It's just another way of saying, don't look back. And if you stumble and fall and make the mistake of looking back, turn around and look again to the way of God. This is written to the church, not to the world out there. You can't be saved by the Romans road if you're not already in the church. The Romans road that they use talks about salvation by works and talks about grace. But remember, the setting is it's talking to people who are in the kingdom already. And once we get in this, then it's a matter of letting the grace of God keep us and the love of God constrain us and make us to be what we ought to be. It's the grace of God and the way of God. And we can't, by our own works, fix everything. In other words, you mess up, you can't always straighten out everything you messed up. And the only answer is to confess it to God and believe it with your heart that He's still your Savior. And He's still able to bring you back to a relationship with God out of this world and keep you on the straight and narrow. Because you told a lie and it went out and somebody told what you told and they stretched it and changed it. You can't chase that lie down. You can't fix it. And you can't save yourself by working yourself to death day and night trying to make it right and going to everybody and apologize. The only thing you can do if you want to be saved, call on the name of the Lord and believe it with your heart and confess it to God and you'll be saved. This is the teaching of Romans to the church. But if anybody's trying to be saved that's never repented, being baptized in Jesus' name and got the Holy Ghost, you can look back all you want to because you don't have anything to look back from. Because looking back and looking forward and looking to the right and looking to the left is all the same. It's just the world. But if you want to get God in your life, come back to the book of Acts. Then go to Romans. And get yourself saved. So we go to Romans now, in light of the fact that this is written to the church. This is written to the church. Chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, I don't know how the people that get saved by the Romans road, according to their own testimony, deal with this scripture. Because those people also say we can't keep from sinning more or less every day. Well, if you can't keep from sinning more or less every day, you better get yourself down on your knees and start praying. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Who forbids? God forbid. This is not just slang words. God forbid. God says, no, don't you continue in sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit titles? That's not what it says, is it? These were Jesus' name baptizing people. If your church doesn't baptize in Jesus' name, you don't have a church. Oh, Brother Rutledge, that's hard. No, 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 no. Not as hard as hell fire. Not as hard as brimstone coming down on your head. This is grace. This is salvation to offer to you. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let's all praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to this. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Or without the italics, we shall be also resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be, what? Destroyed. The old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed. Not resurrected more or less every day. That the body of sin might be destroyed. And God's teaching all through the Word of God, when you destroy something, don't keep part of it. Get rid of all of it. You can't keep part of it. You've got to get rid of it all. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission, in Jesus' name, for the remission of sins. Get rid of all of it. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, a good illustration is this. Go out to the cemetery. Look at the graveyards. You're pretty sure when you see those tombstones that there are people that once were alive underneath the ground. There are dead people in the graveyard, right? Now, they are free from some things. You don't see any of them coming back to try to pay a couple of bills. The day you die, all your worries, all the things that you were involved in life are gone. Somebody else may have to take up the slack. You might leave your children with a bankrupt mortgage or something, but you don't have to worry about it anymore. Once you're dead, you're dead. There's no coming back to tell Aunt Martha, I'm sorry for the way I treated you. Whatever was left behind was left behind. That's it. There is no more changing anything. Once you cross from life to death, from being active in this world to the cemetery, once you go to that part, it's over. You don't squirm. You don't remember anything you've ever done before, and you certainly don't go back and do it again. It's over with. And this is what Jesus is saying. Once we are buried with Him in baptism, and it's not them, it's Him in Jesus in baptism. Hallelujah. That's His teaching about old things are passed away. All things have become new. We arise to walk in newness of life. We have died, and there is no going back. Not even a little bit. Not even in our thoughts. Nothing we've ever done before is there anymore. Only those efforts toward God remain. We're dead. We're dead. We're dead to the world. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I know this sounds real radical to a lot of people, even church people. But we serve a radical Jesus. He's a lot more strict than most of us think He is. He requires all or nothing. And no wonder He said in the Word of God that a remnant will be saved. You know what that is? It's a small portion. In other words, you might say it like this. It's a little speck, a little small portion of those who think they're saved will be saved. Just a remnant. God has a chosen few. Now that number is a number that no man can number. But relatively speaking, there's only going to be a few people saved. And multitudes that no man can number also. The way things are going are going to be saying, but Lord, I called on You. I prayed. I sought after You. I even cast out devils in Your name. I helped the poor. I did this. I did that. And He's going to say, depart from Me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, none of those things mentioned. Feeding the poor, casting out the devils, that's not iniquity. But God sees you as a worker of iniquity if you're not completely in obedience to the Word of the Lord. In other words, you got a little bit of iniquity, you're just an iniquity person. All your prayers and all your good works got you nothing. All your speaking in tongues turned out to be no more than a tinkling cymbal. A lot of nothing. A lot of vain jangling. A lot of nothing. Spend all these years testifying, saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise God for the victory and end up in hell. Why? Because you're not part of the remnant. You're not part of the chosen few. That chosen few is the group of people, no matter how small they may be, that says, I'm giving up this world to serve my God. I'm giving it up. Not holding on to any part of it. Now, when you get here, when you get into this kingdom, and a lot of us are here, when you're in this kingdom, you still have bills to pay, you have a house to live in, you have a car to drive. But you're not living for your house. You're not living for your car. And you're not living for your paycheck. They have their rightful place, but you're living for God. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm closing. Our old man is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey the lust and the lust of it. Neither yield ye your members. This is talking about your flesh, your fingers, your heart, your mind. Don't yield yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. That's the message of grace. The message of grace says, change the way you live. Change the way you wear clothes. Change the way you do your hair. Change your physical appearance. Change the places where you go. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I require you to not be as the world. Come out of them, be ye separate as unto God. Therefore the fads of this world are no more an influence on you anymore. The way of God is what it's all about. Let us stand and praise Him, shall we? Give up your habits and serve God. You can't serve your habit and serve God. One of them has to go. And once you cross over into the kingdom, a lot of things have to be left outside. A lot of things have to be left outside. It's not a message of condemnation if you got a problem with some habit. It's a message of hope that God will help you deal with this thing. You can die out to the fleshly pleasures of sin. Hallelujah! God will help you overcome it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't nobody going to have one last drink of whiskey just before they go through the pearly gates.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And no more going back to the bottle once you're in the kingdom now either. And anything you give up to serve God needs to stay given up. Anything. Anything you've done that God did in changing you to be a child of God, it's gone and it's dead and it's left behind forever and you never pick it up again because you're in a different kingdom. Hallelujah. It's left in that other place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Don't go back out in the darkness and scratch around and try to find out what it was you gave up. It's gone. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Without observation. Hallelujah. The revelation of Jesus Christ. But in the day He's revealed, one will be taken and the other one left. And Jesus is coming soon. Are you carrying the mark of the beast in your life today? Is your knowledge and your awareness and your ability to be intelligent, figure things out, is that on your forehead? Is your power in your hand marked that it has to have its way? Oh, beast that we are, humanity in general, has the mark of the beast. But if you want to erase it, let your hand hold on to God and let your mind be filled with the mind of Christ. And forget about the fantasy Hollywood stories and the preachers taking off to try to figure out a new way to make this thing work that they've swallowed hook, line, and sinker handed to them by un-Jesus name, none-Jesus name, none-Holy Ghost, none-revealed people teaching, writing books. Some of these days, somebody's going to be flying a plane, one will be taken, the other and left, and they don't know what to do because the pilot was saved, because he had accepted Christ as his personal Savior. Hogwash. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Praise God. God bless you. Brother Joe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.